All right, Shabbos, say good morning. Let's begin. Our share this morning is sponsored by Saul and Nettie Brum in commemoration of the yard site of Nettie's beloved mother, Sonia Ament, Sarah Bas Nochum. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah and Shamo will have an aliyah. So let's begin. So we left off. Today's daf is Kuf Ayin. We are picking up 170. We're picking up Kuf Samech Tes and Lebeis 169b. Four lines up from the bottom. Tan Rabbanan. So remember again, we left off yesterday with the position of Reb Shimon Gamliel, where the Mishnah quoted Reb Shimon Gamliel, or say the Braisa that the Gemara quoted, said that Reb Shimon Gamliel holds that if you gave someone a matana through the mechanism of a shtar, and then you returned the shtar to that individual, and you return the shtar, you return the matana as well. So we discussed the idea that Reb Shimon Gamliel holds the concept of osios niknos b'mesira, the ability to convey ownership of something simply through the transfer of a document. So the Braisa picks up with this. If somebody comes along and is trying to go ahead and solidify their ownership over something, and they have the ability to solidify the ownership either through a shtar or through chazaka. So the question is, which is considered to be the primary means of solidifying ownership? If you look at the Rashbam is about the 8 lines up from the bottom, Tan Rabbanan, Haba Lidon, Keneget Hama'arer al Sada Shebiado, Bishtar b'chazaka. So let's say again, I have a piece of property. Someone is contesting my ownership over this particular field. I have the ability to solidify my ownership either with shtar or with chazaka. Shetoin karko zeh kanisi mimcha va'adayin ashtar biyadi v'gam yeshli eidim shachalti shnei chazaka. So also, so the case over here is I claim my ownership of the field is being challenged. I claim that I have the ability to show that I have the shtar, right, that ultimately shows that I bought it. Plus, I have witnesses who could testify to the fact that I have used this land for the years of Chazaka. So the Gemara says, so which one is considered to be primary? So the Gemara says, Nidom b'shtar divrei Rebbe. Rebbe holds that we go ahead and we use the shtar. The shtar is considered to be a more primary way of affecting ownership. Rav Shingamil says, no, Chazaka is the primary way. But my commitment, he's supposed to say, what is the machlokis about? So, ki asur abdini amr ba'osios niknos b'mesira kamifugi. Rav Dini said, they are arguing about the ability to convey ownership over something just through the transfer of a document. Top of Kof Aleph. Rav Shimon Gamliel savar ein osios niknos b'mesira. So Rav Shimon Gamliel held that literally, again, you cannot convey ownership simply through a shtar. The Rebbe savar osios niknos b'mesira. Rebbe, on the other hand, held that no, you can convey ownership simply through the conveyance of a shtar. So we'll say, take a look at the Rashbam, the top Rashbam of Kuf Aleph. Rav Shimon Gamliel savar osios niknos b'mesira. Behilchach tzarech edei chazaka de amar le'idach leich chazek v'kani. V'yeshlo idim shehichsik ba kana the karka niknis b'kesef o b'shtar mechira o b'matana o b'chazaka. So ultimately, again, Rav Shimon Gamliel Bosei holds that you can't convey ownership of something simply through a shtar. Therefore, again, in order for me to establish my ownership, I need ultimately, again, to produce witnesses that I've had the chazaka. So Bosei, it says, Gimara Amar Le Abaye Imkin Plukta L'demar. Sabaye says to Rav Dimi, here's the only problem. According to your interpretation, you are arguing ultimately again on what Rabbah said before. Because Rabbah said earlier that Rav Shimon Gamliel holds osios niknos b'mesira. Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that you can convey ownership over something through a document. You, Rav Dimi, are now positing that Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that you cannot convey ownership over something through a shtar. So you're contradicting what Rabbah said before, to which Rav Dimi responded, Vesiflog, fine. Again, so I'm contradicting Rabbah. What's the big deal? So Abai says, no, this is what I mean to say, Rav Dimi. Masnisa lo metartza elikim entartza mar. That the braisa that we interpreted before only works if you go with Rabbah's interpretation, that Rav Shimon Gamliel holds osios niknos b'mesira. Now you're contradicting that v'imkein, kashit Rav Shimon Gamliel, the Rav Shimon Gamliel. And therefore, Rav Dimi, according to your interpretation, Rav Shimon Gamliel is now contradicting himself. Because according to Rabbah's original interpretation, Rav Shimon Gamliel's position was osios niknos b'mesira, that you could convey ownership over something simply through the transfer of a shtar, and now Rav Dimi, the way you're setting it up, is that Rav Shimon Leo holds that you cannot convey ownership of something simply through the transfer of the shtar. So just pointing out that it's a steer, it's an inherent contradiction between the two shitas of Rav Shimon Leo. Ella, Omar Abai. Therefore, Abai says there's a different interpretation of the Braisa. Hacham asking on what's the case here? Kigon Shenimtsa Echal Mehem Karov Upasol. Oh, let's listen to this. The machlokus over here, the Gemara Paz Rabbi posits, is where on the shtar itself, it turns out that one of the witnesses who signed on the shtar is in fact either a relative to one of the parties named in the shtar, or is a pasul, or is just simply invalid to go ahead and give edus. Take a look at the Rashbam for just a moment. It's almost right across. It is right across in the Rashbam. Elo Amar Abaye, Hai Shtar De Pligi Beid Rabbi Rabban Shimon, Lav Bishtar Kasu B'Shem Acher U'Masru Laze Pligi, Edaha Bein L'Rabbi Bein Rabban Shimon, Osios Niknos B'Mesira, Kedamina L'Rabbi Amocher Sassino, with Rav Shimon Le'el Mishmait Nikidimar, El Shtar Mechira Shekasu Bamochel Lokea, Zek Din Karka Niknes Pishtar Fliki. We'll say, so the case over here, just to understand, the real manifestation of the Osios Niknos B'Mesira case of Osain is actually the following. Let's say I bought a field from Ruvain. So I have a document ultimately that says that I bought a field from Ruvain. If I want to transfer that field to Shimon, so if you hold Osios Niknos B'Mesira, all I need to do is give that document, that very document, to Shimon. Now, of course, the novelty in that is that that document doesn't have Shimon's name. The document has my name and Ruvain's name. But if you hold Osios Niknos B'Mesira, that means the document of that document that contains the original transfer of the land could be used to affect subsequent transfers as well. What the Gemara now is suggesting is everyone agrees Osios Niknos B'Mesira. Everyone agrees that you can do that. What's the machlokis over here? What's the machlokis over here is where you have Stam Meshtar Mechira. Ruvain selling me his land. And then it turns out that what? That in the shtar that we put together, one of the witnesses is a Karov or a Pasol. So listen to this. Ubiplukta the Rabbi Meir Rabbi Lazar Kamiflagi. And the machlokes, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi, is the machlokes between Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Meir. What's the machlokes? Rabbi Savalak Rabbi Elazar Damra Idi Mesira Karsi. So we'll say Rabbi holds like Rabbi Lazar. Remember again, back to our Gittin days, who holds Eidei Mesira Karsi. What does it mean, Eidei Mesira Karsi? That it is the witnesses who witness the transfer of the document who really concretize the effectiveness of the shtar. Therefore, in this case over here, as long as you have witnesses who are witnessing the transfer of the document, even if what? Even if, not transfer, the giving of the document, even if one of the witnesses signed on the shtar happens to be a karov or a pasul, the document or the transaction will still stand. That's Shitas Rebbe. On the other hand, Rebbe Shimon Gamliel Savalak Rebbe Meir Domer Eidei Chasima Karsi. On the other hand, Rebbe Shimon Gamliel holds like Rebbe Meir, who holds no Eidei Chasima Karsi, that the witnesses who sign on the document, those are the ones who create the effectiveness of the document. Therefore, if it turns out that one of the people who are signing the document is a karov or a pasul, that will invalidate the shtar. Amr Rabbi Abba, Rabbi says, one second. Excuse me. Bahab Rabbi Abba, Moda Hayi Rabbi Elazar, the Mezuyaf Misocho, Shu Pasul. One second. We'll say, even Rabbi Elazar who holds, Eidei Mesira Karsi, even Rabbi Elazar who holds, that as long as you have kasha witnesses, who kashin, obviously they're talking about over here the giving over of the get. But remember, as we've learned many times, whatever applies to get will apply to other cases of documents as well. So Rabbi Abba says like this, even Rabbi Lazar who holds that Eidei Mesira Karsi, right? Even Rabbi Lazar who holds that it is the witnesses who witness the giving over of the document, who create the effectiveness of the document, even he agrees that what? The Mezuyaf Misocho Shu Pasol. Even he agrees that what it was. What does he mean? If you have an inherent problem in the shtar, in other words, if it's clear that the shtar is just inherently is the wrong word, but inherently problematic, then the shtar is not going to be good. What does this mean? In this case over here, one of the witnesses who signed on the shtar is a karov or a pasul, someone who is not valid to be a witness. So the Gemara suggests over here that even Rabbi Lazar who holds that Eide Mesira Karsi will agree that if there's a glaring problem with the witnesses on the shtar itself, that will compromise the effectiveness of the shtar. Ela Om Rabbi Avina, Rav Rabbi Avina said, Hakom Odim Shem Kasuv Bo Huskaknu Leidusan Shal Edim V'nim Seis Edusan Mizuyafes Shupasol Kidrabi Abba. So Gemara says, you're right. If, let's say, Beis Din reviewed the shtar, and upon further reflection of the shtar, Beis Din writes, we have looked at the Eidos signed onto the shtar, and it is clear to us that the Eidos is mizuyefes, it's forged, or it's in some other way possible. Everyone will agree that the document is possible. Even Rabbi Lazar, who holds Eide Mesira Karsi, will agree that if it's discovered that there's an inherent flaw in the Eidos of the shtar, the signed Eidos of the shtar, that the shtar will be possible. Take a look at the Rashbam for just a moment. Ela Amar Ravina Kol Modim, Rabbi Rav Shimon Gamliel Modim, Shemizuyaf Misocho Shu Pasul Kid Rabbi Abba, to Modi Rabbi Lazar. Everyone, Rabbi and Rav Shimon Gamliel will agree. We'll say that even if you hold Eide Mesira Karsi, at the end of the day, if there's a clear inconsistency in the Eidos in the shtar, that the shtar will be possible. Lo Nechleku, so we'll say, what do they argue about? It's actually quite interesting. Ela Bishtar, She'in Alav Eidim Klal. And we'll say, what they argue about is the following case, about a shtar that has no Eidos on it at all. What do you do with a shtar that has no signatures on it? The Rebbe, Sarvalak, Rebbe Lazra, Amar Eidim, Sira Karasi, so Rebbe will hold that such a shtar is good. Right? Such a shtar is good. We'll say, such a shtar is good when you have Eidim, Sira. So if the shtar was given over between the two parties in front of witnesses, and witnesses could attest that the transaction actually occurred, then Enochinami, those witnesses put the stamp on the transaction. Well, so it just goes back to where we learned these sugis already. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds like Rabbi, who holds Eidei Chasima Karsi, that it is the witnesses who sign on the document that ultimately give the document its effectiveness. The Baisema. The Baisema says, so again, just want to say what we're trying to do. The Gemara quoted a Braisa, what we started today's daf with, on Kof Samech Tesam and Beis, four lines up from the bottom. The Gemara quoted a Braisa. That Braisa ultimately said that if somebody has the ability to go ahead and solidify their claim with either a chazaka or a shtar, so which should they use? Rebbe holds, use the shtar. The Rosh Hashanah says, use the chazaka. We're trying to figure out what are they arguing about. So the Gemara is just trying to give a number of different interpretations as to their particular machlokas. Fine. Bibay Sema. Both another possibility is the following. B'mode b'shtar shekasvu tzarech l'kaimo kamiflegi. Both said the other possibility is that they're arguing about the case of what we call mode b'shtar, when someone admits that they are a party to the shtar, does the shtar still have to be upheld? Now look at the Rashbam for just a moment. B'bais ima mode, it's the Rashbam on this page is on both sides of the Gemara. So it's on the right-hand column, probably about 15 lines up from the bottom. Ela Amar, excuse me, Vibay Seima Bamoda, Ma'ar Er, Shekasfu Lishtar, Shebiad Ze, Pligi, Vika Amar, Ma'ar Er Lo Machartiv Lacha, Umimeni Nafal Hashtar, Umatzasos. Well, so listen to this. This is a case over here where, let's say, you have two parties. So Reuven agrees, let's say I bought a field from Reuven. So ultimately, again, Reuven agrees that he wrote the shtar, but Lamaisi, he claims that at the end of the day, he lost the shtar and I found this. So again, he wrote it, he's agreeing that he wrote it, but Lamaisa, he's not agreeing that he gave it over to me. So the Gemara says the following. So what happens in that kind of case? The Rebbe Sava, Rebbe holds, Mode Bishtar Shekasvu, Ein Tzarech L'Kaimo. Rebbe holds that once Reuven admits that he wrote the shtar, there is no need for any further kiyum. Now look at the Rashbam for just a moment. Ein Tzarech L'Kaimo, Delo Dami L'Shardinim, Shapesh She'asru Apesh She'hitir, Shafilim Hayazem Ma'arer Ve'omer Lo Kasavtiv, Lo Hayonu Lach Shod Es Zeh Lokeach Bekach. Shelo nech shedu Yisrael lasos shtaros mizuyafim, ela shechmiru chachamim litzarech kiyum, hecha de ma'ari alayhu, hilcha ki amar kasavtiv, nehemni lemisha shtar biyado. So we'll say, Rebbe holds like this. As long as Reuven agrees that he wrote the shtar, and now I am in possession of the shtar, then lemaisa again, what we believe, that he who has possession of the shtar has rightful possession of the shtar. In other words, Rabbi Yosef, that what Rebbe posits is that we assume that when you have possession of something, that that possession is legal. Unless, of course, someone could prove otherwise, we automatically assume that your possession is legal. So therefore, in this, Rabbi Yosef, the only time where questions come up would be if Reuven says, I never wrote that shtar. That's a forgery. That's a forgery. Okay, if he says that's a forgery, then we have to investigate that. But if Reuven's saying, no, I wrote the shtar, but I lost the shtar and Silber found it, so then the Gemara says, we don't believe a claim like that. At the end of the day, so, you know, possession is 9/10 of the law. If I have the shtar, we assume that I have the shtar through legal means. And therefore, once I have the shtar, there is no further need for any kind of subsequent kiyum. But Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no, tzarech l'kaimo. But Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that, no, once my right to the shtar is being challenged, then ultimately it has to be upheld. Look at the Rashban, tzarech l'kaimo. V'hachi ka'amar Rav Shimon. V'hachi Rav Shimon, nidon b'chazaka v'lo b'shtar, sh'hashtar eno mo'elo, kol zman shlo neskayim al yidei achirim, afa pi sh'zeh ha'ma'ar ermode sh'kasvu, Diihu Amar Kasafti the Amar Nami left hand column Loma Sartavos. So we'll say, see, now watch, let's go back. So Gemara says the following. Remember, what was the case of the Braisa? The case of the Braisa was, I come before Beis Din to solidify my right to a particular piece of property. I have two ways of solidifying my right, either through Shtar or through Chazaka. So Rebbe said, I should go and use Shtar. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said, I should use Chazaka. So says the Gemara, what are they arguing about? So the Gemara suggests over here, they're arguing about the following case. A situation where I have the shtar, but Reuven's claiming that what? That the shtar was stolen. Or he lost it and I found it. So Rebbe holds in a case like that, we don't listen to that. Meaning what we look at is, as long as Reuven is admitting he wrote the shtar, that proves that the shtar is effective. And the fact that I have possession over it indicates, at least circumstantially, that I'm the rightful owner. Therefore, Rebbe holds that I could solidify my claim to the land with the shtar. Rav Shimon Gamliel holds Rabosai, that when you have a shtar that is contested, right, Reuven's claiming he wrote it, but he's claiming that he lost it, and I found it, and I don't have it rightfully. Rav Shimon Gamliel said, in that kind of case, I should prove my claim to the land through chazaka, not through the shtar. I said, the Gemara, v'ha ipcha shamin aluhu. But Rabosai, we learned the opposite, meaning we learned a reverse in the Shitos, in another case. Listen to this. This Sanyo. Shnaim adukin bishtar. Well, so listen to this case. Two people. Instead of Shnaim Oksin Batalis, Shnaim adukin bishtar. Well, so listen to this. Two people are holding on to a loan document. The two people happen to be the lender and the borrower. Watch this. Malva omer shelihu v'nafal mimenu mitzaso. So we'll listen to this. The Malva says that I had this document. In other words, it's my document. And I dropped it. And the borrower found it. The borrower found it. We'll say now, what is the lender saying? The lender is saying, the note hasn't been repaid. So I still have the document, I dropped it, the borrower found it, and that's how he's holding on to it. But it's really mine, he hasn't paid me back yet. Falover Amar Lover says, Shalchahu uparatav lacha. You're right, it was yours, but then I paid you back, and now what? Now it's mine. Now it's nice. So what do we do? What do we do in that kind of case? To which the Gemara says, Yiskayim hashtar b'chosamav divrei Rebbe. So we'll say, Rebbe holds, we should solidify the shtar ultimately again through its signatures. Now what does this mean? Take a look at the Rashbam. Second line from the top on the left-hand column of the Rashbam. Yiskayim hashtar b'chosamav divrei Rebbe. V'gove le malve kule. So we'll say, Rebbe holds, listen, the shtar is an effective shtar. We go ahead, let's uphold the shtar through the signatures of the witnesses, and the lender will be entitled ultimately again to collect the shtar. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer Yachloku. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no, you go ahead and you should split it. In other words, we'll say, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, this is a case of Shtayim Ochsin. What do you do in Shtayim Ochsin? You split it. So the Gemara says, V'havinan ba. The Gemara says, we asked about this. Veleslei the Rebbe Hadisnan, does Rebbe Rabbi say, so Rebbe who holds that ultimately we side with the Malva, we side with the lender, and we give the shtar back to the lender and allow him to collect the full amount of the shtar. So as the Gemara, but 1 second, does Rebbe not hold of the principle Disnan Shnaim Ochzin Batalis? Zeomer ani mitzasiya vizeomer ani mitzasiya. See, each two people holding on to a talis, each one claims, I found it and it's mine. So what's talacha? Zei shava she'en lo ba pachos michatsya. V'zei shava she'en lo ba pachos michatsya. V'yachloku. Rabbi, so we know that halacha. So what's the halacha? Each one swears that he owns no less than half, and they each get 50%. So Rabbi say, so why would Rabbi, now what is Rabbi Paskin? Rabbi Paskin is in this case, where the Malva and the Lova are both holding onto the shtar. Rebbe awards the shtar to the Malva, to the lender. Says Gemara, I don't understand. Why is this not just like the paradigmatic case of Shnayim Ochsim Batalis? In which case, Yachloku split the amount. To which Rebbe says, remember, that's what Rebbe Shimon says. Rebbe says Yachloku. Va'amar Rava, Amrav Nachman, B'mekuyam, Kuli Alma, Lo Pligid Yachloku. So also listen to this. So Gemara suggests the following. In the case of where ultimately the shtar is upheld, Mekuyam, if you look at the Rashbam, Amrav Nachman, B'mekuyam, Behenpik, Kuli Alma Lo Pligi, the Palgi, Bein Shnehem, Kedin Mishnasinu Kishdishnaib Oxen. When the Shtar has been certified by Beis Din, everyone will agree that the halacha is Yachloku. Everyone will agree. However, the Gemara says, so I'm sorry, Amrav Nachman, to Kuli Alma Lo Pligi, Bimekuyam, if the Shtar is certified, everyone agrees Yachloku. Ki Pligi, when do they argue? B'she'eno mekuyam. Rabbi say, what do you do in a case where the Malva and Lover are both holding on to a shtar, but the shtar is not mekuyam? The shtar has not been certified. So the Gemara says, watch this. Rabbi Savar mod b'shtar shekasvu sarach lekaimo. So Rabbi says, even if the person admits that he wrote the shtar, there is still additional certification necessary. V'i mekayim le gabi palga. So ultimately, again, if the shtar is subsequently certified, then each party will get half. V'i lo, but I will say, if the shtar ultimately, again, is not certified, then chaspa ba'almohu. Then at the end of the day, the shtar is simply irrelevant. The shtar is irrelevant. Chaspa ba'almohu. So the Gemara Rabbi Shimon Amil Savar, mode b'shtar shekasvu, ein sarach lekaimo v'yachloku. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon Amil holds that once the parties admit that the shtar was authentic, then what's the halacha, Rabbi Osai? It's as if it's been certified, and therefore again, yachloku. So we'll say, the point over here the Gemara is making is, we have a contradiction in the shitos of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, to which the Gemara answers, Efoch, you're right, just go ahead and reverse the shitos, that indeed, Rabbi Osai, what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel actually holds, is even mode b'shtar shekasvu, Ein tzarech l'kaimo. So just reverse the shitos of Rebbe and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel in this last brisa. Fine. V'bay sema. So what's another possibility is, li'olam lo seifuch. We'll say, do not reverse the shitos. Now this is actually going to get quite interesting. Ela hacha bilavar kamiflagi. So we'll say, listen to this. Take a look at the Rashbam. This is Rashbam on the left-hand side, where the lines get short. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 lines in. Elahacha bilavarakum. Listen to this. Adam shetoin lema'arer, shnei minei chazakos yeshli. Acha sheyeshli biyadi adayin shtar, mechira, shasisali asad al asad. So we'll say, listen to this. So I come to Reuven, I say, Reuven, listen, I have, Reuven's claiming that the land that I'm currently inhabiting is his. I say to Reuven, listen, I have two forms of proof that I am the rightful owner of this land. Number one, I have the shtar mechira. I have a document of sale that shows that you sold me this land. Va'od, she'ish the edei cheskas shalosh shanim. What else do I have? I have witnesses who could attest to the fact that what? I've been living here for 3 years. V'ka'amar Rebbe, nidom b'shtar, she'tzarach levarer, ula ames estivarov, ula havies ashtar kimo shetan. V'edei chazaka b'lo shtar lo yoya lo kan, me'achar sheze omeit u'ma'arer, lo masarti l'cha shtar me'olam, v'lo macharti l'cha, v'shelo kidin hechzakta, v'halo toin, shtar yesh adayin biyadi, v'ilu lo tankach, hayadai lo be'edei chazaka. We'll say, listen to this. So the Gemara posits the following case. We'll say, this is actually an incredible musar. What happens when you provide additional unnecessary information? Does additional unnecessary information create a legal obligation or not? So for example, in this case over here, I'm living on land. Reuven claims it's his land. I say, yes, Reuven, it was your land. I bought it from you. And in fact, I've been living here for 3 years and I have Edi Chazaka. And you know what else? I still have the Shtar. Most remember, again, the assumption is under normal circumstances, after 3 years of Chazaka, people don't normally hold on to their shtaros. Because again, once I've been living somewhere for 3 years, I've established chazak. I don't need my supporting paperwork anymore. In this case, I'm claiming I've lived here 3 years, I have chazaka, and they also have the document. So watch this. The chazaka by itself is enough to make my claim. But now I've provided additional information. I've said I have a document. The shayla now is, once I've provided that information, is it necessary for me to provide that document in order to go ahead and bolster my claim? Or do we say, no, we don't care about the document, but rather, again, we just care about the chazak. We'll say, you know what the shayla is? See, sometimes in life, say it differently. All the time in life, when you say less, you are always better off. What the halacha is now asking is, if you provide additional information, do you now have to back up your statements or not? So you say, you had chazaka and a shtar. If you would have just said chazaka, that would have been enough. You say now you have a shtar. So does Beis Din now require you to, okay, you say you have a shtar, let's see it. We'll say this is the lashon of bilavarer. Bilavarer means you provide additional unnecessary information. Are you bound now in a legal way to go ahead and provide that information? So watch this. So the Gemara says, Ki had Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef, hava masik beizuzi b'Rabbi Abba. Because what's the Gemara tells a story. Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef had lent money to Rabbi Abba. Oslik made Rabbi Yitzchak, so they had some type of dispute. They came up for Rabbi Yitzchak, Nafcha, Amar paraticha b'fnei ploni uploni. So Rabbi Abba said to Rabbi Yitzchak, I paid you back in front of so-and-so. Amar li Rabbi Yitzchak, Yavo'u ploni uploni v'ya'idu. So what's Rabbi Yitzchak, Nafcha, so Rabbi Yitzchak said, No. So remember, just so we get the names over here. Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef lent money to Rabbi Abba. They came before Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha for judgment. Rabbi Abba says to Rabbi Yitzchak, the lender, I paid you back already in front of Reuven and Shimon. Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, who's the dayan, says to Rabbi Abba, No, go get them. Right? Meaning, bring them in. Suppose to listen to this. Amar Lei, Ilo Asalo Mehemna. Rabbi Abba says, excuse me, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha Dayan, are you telling me that if I don't bring in the witnesses, I'm not believed? But we learned, Hamalves Chaveiro Be'edim, Eino Zarech Lefaro Be'edim. Razul say, what Rabbi Abba was saying was the following, I didn't have to say that I paid back in front of witnesses. I could have just said I paid back, because Daloch HaZabo said that even if you borrow in front of witnesses, you need not pay back in front of witnesses. Rabbi Abba is saying is, I gave additional information to the Beis Din that was unnecessary information, to which the Gemara says, Amar Lei, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, the Dayan, responds to Rabbi Abba, Ano, Bahi Kishmaite Demar Svirolei. The Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav Adabar Abba, Amar Rav, Ha'omer lechaveiro praticha b'fnei ploni uploni, tzarech sheyavou ploni uploni via idu. So we'll say, so what Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha the Dayan responded is, Rabbi Abba, you're right. Had you not said anything, you would not have been obligated to bring edus. But once you provided information, or once you dangle that legal information out there, then what? You're obligated to bolster it and to back that up. So we'll say, amazingly enough, so the Gemara says, oh, this is really fascinating because this is unnecessary information, but once you gave it, the halacha says, back it up. So the Gemara says, Amrav Gidla, Amrav Halacha, Gidla, Reb Shimon Gamliel. So one second, be it Rav Gidla, so the name of Rav, that the halacha follows Reb Shimon Gamliel. The Rebbe will say, that's what? That Sha'amar Nidon Af Bechazaka Levada. But Rebbe will say, we learn that the halacha says, Reb Shimon Gamliel, that what? That even if you say you have a chazaka on the shtar, that you only need to what? You only need to provide, or you only have to prove the chazaka, you don't have to furnish the shtar. Va'af Rebbe lo Amar Amudbeis, Va'af Rebbe lo Amar Ella Levarer. And Rebbe, so also what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that Rebbe was only saying Yeshita, only that if possible to go ahead and provide this additional information, you should do so. Ananami Levara Kamina. I agree with you. But Rebbe was not just saying, if possible, you should provide the additional information. Rather, what Rebbe was saying is that what? Once Rebbe will say you go ahead and you indicate that you have this additional information, you are what? You are legally bound to provide it. Take a look at the Tap Rashbam Amud Beis. Amali Anunami Labar Kamina Kilomar Kirabi Svirali Vim Lo Birer Dvarov Hifsid Vichin Perish Rabbeinu Zikini Amazingly enough, so the Gemara says over here, like Rebbe, that Rebbe literally holds that the Rebbe, even though you are sharing information that was not necessary to bolster your claim, you could have made your claim even without this information. Once you provided the information, then enachinami, you are chayif to back it up. And Rabosai, this indeed is the halacha, which is quite interesting. Shulchan Aruch Paskin is this way. This is in Siman Kuf Mem Siv Dalin. Ta'an Shimon sheyesh lo shtar shem makra o nasnu lo b'shtar v'gam sheyesh lo edim sheikh sik shalosh. Rabosai is the exact case. So what happens? So Shimon claims that Reuven sold him land, and again, he claims that he has two ways to prove that point. Number one, good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. Number one, he has a shtar mechira. He has a document of sale. Number two, he has edus. So Rabbi says, so what's the halacha? The halacha is omrim lo, kayim shtarcha, miyachol lekayim amutav. So we'll say, the Shulchan Aruch essentially tells him is that halacha lemaisa, he needs to produce both the edus as well as the shtar. So amazingly enough, Rabbi says, now again, if you can't, the Shulchan Aruch then gets into cases where Lemaisa, if you can only produce one, but you can't produce two. So the Gemara, the halach gets to the, we don't have to get into it now. We will say, but for our purposes, what it tells you is, if you provide additional information, that information becomes binding. So therefore, again, conventional wisdom is, when looking to go ahead and bolster your legal claim, the less you say, meaning, don't start volunteering additional information that is not absolutely necessary, because the moment you share that with the Beis Din is the moment that Beis Din could require you to bolster that. So for example, Reuven claims that I'm living on his land, so all I need to say is produce edus for chazaka. Once I go ahead and I say, and I have a shtar, then the halacha is, Beis Din asks me ultimately to furnish that shtar as well. Okay, good. Says the Mishnah. Misha para miktas chovo. We actually alluded to this case. It's really very interesting. Somebody went ahead and paid back part of his debt. So I'll say, I borrowed $1,000 from Reuven. Now what happens? I went ahead and I paid him back $500. So I'll say, we have a problem. What's the problem? The document says that I owe him $1,000, but I don't owe him. I only owe him $500 now. So I'll say, so what do we do? It says, Misha para miktas chovo. Rabbi Huda Omer Yachlif. Rabbi Huda says Yachlif. I'll say, what is Yachlif? Meaning, if you look at the Rashbam, the Rashbam says, "Hebidom Yachlif Yikra Osa Shtar VeYichtov Lo Shtar Achel Lefi Cheshbon Hanishmar Hanishar Misman Rishon." So what's the halacha? The halacha is we tear up the original shtar, and I go ahead and we write the new shtar for the remainder of the amount. Fine. Rabbi Yossi says no. Yichtov Shover. We'll say, now what do? We write a shover. Now we'll say, now who gets the shover? I, the borrower, get a receipt. So again, I get a receipt for a $500 payment. Yichtov shover. The Yishmerei halova. They both say, now the chap over here is that the responsibility is upon me, the borrower, to watch my receipt. Because what happens if I lose my receipt? So again, remember, the lender, Reuven, has a shtar in his possession that says that I owe him $1,000. So if I lose the receipt, I lose the receipt. So we'll say, I'm going to be Huda. Nimtza zet sarech liyos shomer shavra min achbarim. Rabbi Huda says zelo fair, right? Why? Because it turns out then that the onus is upon the borrower, right? The onus is upon the borrower now. I have to watch my document from the mice, right? Literally again, because we'll say it's parchment. So apparently again, mice nibble on the parchment. So the mice again. What Rabbi Huda is saying is it's not right. Then now I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm repaying part of my debt. And they tell me that the onus is upon me to watch my receipt. And if for some reason I lose my receipt, then what? I'm going to have to pay the full amount again. Amul Rabbi Yossi, kach yafelo, velo yera koko shalzeh. So we'll say, amazing enough, Rabbi Yossi says, yep, if anybody's going to have to bear the onus, we would rather it be the borrower and not the lender. Take a look at the Rashbam. Amar lo Rabbi Yossi kach yafelo, lemalva. This is in the best interest of the lender. Sheyihya halove bedagas shimor shovro. Veloha malva. So we'll say we would rather have the onus of watching documents upon the borrower and not upon the lender. So we'll say, interesting, the Rashbam says over here, he says, De'eved lo ve'le ish malva kitarina begimara. So we'll discuss that. So we'll say, you have to understand something. In general, whenever it comes to loans, the halacha always seems to tilt things in favor of the lender. Now, why is that? Because understand, again, at the end of the day, lending money in the Jewish marketplace is not a profitable endeavor. So you see this very often, that the halacha absolutely needs to encourage Jewish lending. Because Jewish lending is a very, very, very important source, especially of interest-free loans. So if the halacha does not protect the lender in certain ways, simply, there's no incentive to lend money to a Jew. Chas v'shalom. There's incredible incentive to lend money to a Jew because it's a mitzvah and it's a chesed. But from a financial perspective, there's no incentive to lend money to a Jew. So therefore, the halacha protects the lender whenever possible. So in this case over here, again, the Gemara is going to get into this, but you see, if somebody's going to have to watch the document, we're going to place that onus upon the borrower, not upon the lender.
Wouldn't the lender be in advance? Lose it, and then he's got the whole. Then he can claim he stills all the whole amount. If he's given the receipt for what was paid to him, he could lose it and say, "No, I don't have any receipt. You owe me $1,000."
So that would be meaning that's lying.
Correct.
That's lying, right? So no. What we're saying over here is just from a responsibility perspective, right? We're not saying what would be advantageous to him from a treachery perspective. We're saying what's advantageous to him just from a responsibility perspective. So says the Gemara. I'm Rav Huna Marav. So we'll say Rav Huna says the name of Rav. Ein halacha lo krabi Yehuda lo krabi Yosi. So we'll listen to this. So remember, in the Mishnah, we have two shitos. We had two shitos. So we'll say that what do you do in a case where you repaid part of the debt? So we'll say, I have Rabbi Huda saying, we tear up the original shtar, go ahead and write a new shtar. Which we'll say is another way of saying that. Remember, when you write the new shtar, who holds the new shtar? Who holds the new shtar? The lender, right? The malva. That's Rabbi Huda's shita. Rabbi Yossi says, no, we just write a receipt for the borrower for the amount paid, and the borrower holds onto that new document. So we'll say that's the machlokes, Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Yossi. Comes along Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, in the name of Rav, another shita. Ein halacha lo k'Rabbi Huda, v'lo k'Rabbi Yossi. We'll say that halacha is not like either of those opinions. So rather, again, there's a third opinion. Ella, based in Mekarin Hashtar, the coast in lo shtar achar mizman rishon. So we'll say, this is actually quite interesting. Take a look at the Rashbam. Ein halacha lo k'Rabbi Huda, sh'amar yachlif, v'afilu lichtov lo mizman rishon, al yedei edim b'lo bezik in mefarish v'azil, d'lo alimi edim l'kro ha'shtar l'hachlich v'livvos mizman rishon. So we'll say, listen to this. So Rav is shedding new light on the position of Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Huda holds, let's play this out. I borrow $1,000 from Reuven. Now let's say again, Shimon and Levi are the edim on the shtar. I now went ahead and paid back Reuven $500. So Rabbi Huda holds that what Shimon and Levi do is they rip up the original document, redraft a new document, sign that document, give that document back to the lender. Comes along Rav Huna in the name of Rav and says, no, witnesses do not have the power to do that. Witnesses, when they sign on one document. Now there is a new document, a new loan document that is drafted. That document reflects that I now only owe Reuven $500, but that document needs to be drafted by Beis Din. Now, why that is, we'll discuss. But this is the third sheet of Rav Huna in the name of Rav, that again, he agrees in principle that we will draft a new loan document, and that new loan document will be given over to Reuven, the lender, but that the witnesses can't do it. Rather, that has to be done in the presence of Beis Din. The Rashbam says over here, "V'kosin lo shtar acher, kosin lo shtar acher, lefi sikum hamo shechayev lo, va'adayin Rav futanu palik." Fine. So says the Gemara. Amri of Nachum Rav Huna. See here, now we have three shitos. Shita number one is Rav Yehuda. When I paid back $500, Rav Yehuda says, the witnesses tear up the original shtar, draft a new shtar for $500, that shtar is kept by the malva. Rav Yossi, when I pay $500, I get a receipt for the $500 paid, right? But yet the malva still holds on to the regular document. Rav Huna, in the name of Rav, that no, when I pay back $500, I agree, new document is drafted, but not by the witnesses. The document is drafted by Beis Din itself. Beis Din Mekarin Ashtar, Beis Din go ahead and tear up the original shtar. The koslimo shtar acher mizman rishon. Now, this is very important as well. They write a new shtar. Now, what's the date of the new shtar? What's the date of the new shtar? The original date of the loan. Rabbosei, why is that important? Because remember, that's important out encumbrances, right? Out nechassim mishubadim. So that's important, because remember, if we date it now, that means the encumbrance is now. We want, the malva has an interest in keeping the original encumbrance date. So new document for new amount, reflecting the $500 paid off, but same old date. Amalei Rav Nachman Rav Huna. So Rav Nachman said to Rav Huna, Va'amilei Rav Yirmiya bar Abba Rav Huna, Ishmielei Rav Ha Braisa. So if Rav would have heard this braisa, he would not have paskined that way. We'll say, what's the pas? What's the braisa? This sanyo, edim mekaren es hashtar, v'kosvin lo shtar achar mizman rishon. So we'll say, well, the braisa seems to be pretty explicit, that in a case where what? In a case where I go ahead, I borrowed $1,000 from Reuven, I paid him back $500. What does the braisa say? What happens in a bosai? The witnesses who signed on the shtar tear up the original shtar, write a new shtar, re-sign on the shtar, v'kosvin lo shtar acher mizman rishon, and they date the new shtar as of the original date of the first of the initial transaction. If Rav would have heard this braisa, havar hadabei, then Rav would retract his issue. Remember again, what does the braisa explicitly say? Who's rewriting? Who's tearing up the old shtar, rewriting the new one? The Eidim. And yet, Rav Huna, you're saying that Rav holds, no, this can only be done in Beis Din. Had Rav heard this braisa, Rav would have retracted that position and would have agreed essentially with Rabbi Huda in the Mishnah to say that, no, even the Eidim could do it. To which Rav Huna responds, Amrlei, Shmielei, V'lo Hadarbei. Rav knew the braisa, Rav didn't accept the braisa, and Rav did not change his original opinion. All right, so we'll stop over here. We'll pick up Emirat Hashem on the top of Kuf Ayin Aleph Emirat Hashem tomorrow. I'll have some artists on Shabbat with Thomas, but I'll record it Emirat Hashem after davening. We'll post it on the podcast. Shkoyach.